At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Cowboys CanFan main event, and we got a whole smorgasbord of things to talk about. Ooh. Starting off with a pass player who decided to hang up the cleats early.
And because it's the eve of Dallas Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, California, we talk about training camp and all the excitement that comes with that.
And we also finish up with the last three top 20 questions for Cowboys Nation this Dallas Cowboys offseason. And guess what? Our answers are going to shock you, especially number three. I don't know. I'm clickbaiting.
He's clickbaiting.
Three was exciting.
Always three.
And if you have it in your back pocket right now, get your crack 'em if you got 'em open and come join the show.
Woo! Let's go.
Cowboys.
CanFan.
Boosh!
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 Boosh! Boosh! Baby!
Boosh!
Boosh! Boosh! Boosh! Yeah. I usually like to sing, but it's me. But it's me.
But it's him.
But it's me.
But it's him.
Crack them if you got them, son.
Crack them if you got them, son.
And crack them if you got them, son.
Crack them if you have them.
And if you got it, sir, give it an old crack and whip.
You can't just say a crack them if you got them if you don't got them.
That's a boosh.
That's right. That's right.
That's a boosh. That's a boosh on this Wednesday main event with the Cowboys CanFan crew. Son, guys, I feel excited. I feel excited because football is in the air, baby.
Woo! Football's in the air and it's in your butthole.
Full football in the butthole. I swear I saw that video on like LimeWire when I was a kid.
Nerf.
Oh,
Nerf.
For sure.
I thought that was coming out the old.
Yeah, you're like, what is that? What is that? And then
is that a baby's head?
A Nerf ball pops out.
Hey, it's water resistant. Let me just get this. What are you saying for?
Crack me if you got him. I was just saying, whoa, Gus is in the house.
Gus
has been gone for a while, but he says, howdy, boys, I'm back.
Gus is back. Hey.
Finished his 2-month sentence in the stint. Back on the streets. Welcome, Gus.
Gus is in the air.
Gus is in the air.
Gus and Puss is in the air.
Gus and Puss.
Just like Slim Shady, he's back.
Did Slim Shady ever leave?
No.
Hi, kids.
But that's why like violent.
But that's why, like, I mean, with the whole Houdini song and his new album, it's like back again. It's like you've been back how many times?
Yeah. Well, hey, man, if it keeps working, he's got a whole new generation for it to work on. So I don't. Hey, you know who else is back? The CanFan crew, son, the bandwagon boys, and your boy. And we got a whole lot of Dallas Cowboys content and news to go through, starting with crazy news drop today. Is what I would say if there was crazy news dropped.
What? CeeDee Lamb got signed?
Nope.
That would be huge. I was having lunch. I was on a lunch meeting today, and I'm in the middle of talking directly to the person that I'm meeting with, and I can see up on the screens CeeDee Lamb's face in the Cowboys.
Oh, you thought he got signed?
And immediately I just stopped talking and I looked up and I was like, okay. I'm so thrown off right now because
you were just doing this. Shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah. Hey.
Shut your fucking mouth.
First off, shut your mouth. Okay.
CeeDee Lamb's face is on the screen. Actually, AJ is pulling something up, and I was joking around that there was big news, but some big news actually did drop yesterday, and it's not necessarily Cowboys news, but it's like Cowboys news by default.
Well, I think yeah, cousin.
Yeah, because the guy was drafted by the boys, played there for 5 years. Had some pretty good success for a third-round pick. We're talking about Michael Gallup with the sudden retirement. Only 28 years old, guys.
Six seasons, not a lot of time.
Not a lot of time. And look, Michael Gallup.
Did he play six seasons, or was this going to be a six?
It says Raiders wide receiver Michael Gallup retires from NFL after six seasons.
He re-signed with them boys and didn't play his final year.
So this was going to be his seventh year.
Let me double check that though. But I
think you're right.
Yeah, he was signed. He was drafted in 2018 and
third round
played
pick.
Every single season with the Dallas Cowboys.
had a few very good years. The guy was a great perimeter receiver, very good sideline catcher, very good touchdown corner end zone reception receiver. And then he had that nasty ACL, man. He had that ACL injury against the Cardinals in 2022 and just never really bounced back last season. Or sorry, I think it was 2021. Sorry.
It was 2021.
Because then 2022, we were kind of like mulligan season. And then okay, and then 2023 just
didn't have
had
it.
Like 500 yards or something, which just...
Yeah.
And he had all the opportunities. This is the thing with Michael Gallup last season. He was on the field. He was technically the Cowboys wide receiver three because you had CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks ahead of him.
Yep.
And he just never really was the same dude that he was prior to that ACL injury, which is sad.
I got to say this about Michael Gallup. He was in our true bandwagon phase days, me and Adam used to come in here wearing Raiders gear and Seattle Seahawks, gear. He was the dude who I loved. I loved how he played. I had big expectations for him. So very sad to see him leave Dallas. And I think the appropriate thing for the Dallas Cowboys to do is sign him for a one-day contract and have him retire as a Dallas Cowboy.
Or, like, take his other knee out with a sledgehammer.
Or take the other knee out and say, that's what you get. That message was, that's from Jerry's boys.
Don't you ever leave the Cowboys again. Can we get his stats up?
Yeah.
I just kind of want to see what his stats were. Oh.
Gus says, don't blame MG13. Once he met them Raider fans, he said, I'm out.
Well, yes. I was kind of thinking of a meme post being like, trying to think of something that it could be like plays with Dallas for 6 years, plays 6 months with the Raiders and then retires, but really think of anything.
This is before we break down his stats here, this is what's interesting about it is I wonder how many years he was lying to him. And I'm not in the man's head. Okay. I need to be within 30 yards of him to get into a man's head. That's my Marvel precog. But I wonder if he had a couple years where he was like, had kind of that foot out the door without even realizing it. And then just came to realization by the move to Las Vegas, new team, everything's new. And I'm not saying Las Vegas seems like a quality organization. They have all the money and the backing of the NFL. So I can't see that it would be like going to Washington.
Not if you're a compulsive gambler.
But that could be the reason, but you know what I'm saying? Like, something happened in between now and however many years ago where he was like, I'm done. He's only 27, going to be 28 years old this season if he was to play. So still has, like, arguably in his prime years still.
Oh, you know? Totally. And, man, I'm looking at his stats here. And in my brain, he was better. It might have been because of the plays that he had.
2021 was... He was on pace, if you look at it, to probably get close to 800, 1,000 yards.
Before the injury.
Okay. And who knows, a couple good games, you're right, right in there,
right? He only played 9 games. So if he had another 7 games on that, you could pretty much double it. But you look at his stats and nothing crazy. I mean, the 2019 season was great as a wide receiver too. 66 receptions, 1,100 yards, that yard per reception at 17 and 6 touchdowns. Like, that's pretty legit there.
I mean, I would take his 2020 season, too, as a wide receiver three.
As a three.
Three as a 843 yards.
Yeah, as a wide receiver three, but at that time, he was playing a wide receiver two.
Right, but had that injury not happened, he'd probably have ended up somewhere between 800-plus yards each season.
In 2021, yeah, definitely.
And 20, like, if that injury wasn't there, there would be no reason why he couldn't keep that pace with getting 100 targets, between 100 to 120 targets a season, 800 to 1,000 yards, 6 to 5 touchdowns. I mean, these aren't great metrics, but the big standout is that yard to reception, 16 and 14 and 15 yards per average in his first 3 seasons.
And then look at it drop.
12, 10, and 12. So
it's telling. That burst is gone.
That burst was gone, and that 3-yard difference or 2-yard difference, however you want to calculate it, that is a... That's the difference of a first downs or, basically it's the difference of like that 6 and 10, instead of being 6 yards and getting the first down on that third down, throwing a Michael Gallup, it's like now you're ending up 4th and 1 or 4th.
Well, you can even
two.
Argue if you look at his long, like in 2018, 49, 2019, 62, 2020, 55. And then after that, he never had a longer reception than 41 yards.
Yeah.
So that's substantial compared to the 62, right? So it's sad. I mean, Michael Gallup served his role in Dallas. No, I kind of questioned when they did re-sign him after the leg injury. Like
bad signing.
It seemed like a weird signing, just weird timing on it. And I mean, the Cowboys are paying for it. And what Michael Gallup said is his heart just wasn't 100% in it anymore. Like he could tell that his heart just wasn't 100% in it.
So. And at that point in contact sports, especially at this level, that's when you got to hang it up because you're going to be not doing the little things that keep you healthy on the and off the field. And so kudos to Michael Gallup. He made his bank. He got paid by Jerry. Let's have a quick look at his salary cap.
Yeah, let's see that. While AJ's bringing that up, there's two breaking news. There's one, Ultra Cowboy says, breaking news, Cowboys signed D's Nuts.
You got me.
got him.
And then Blue Ryder says, what's up, everybody? Guess what, boys?
He's going to training camp.
I got great news. I will be heading to Oxnard this year. Blue Virus.
I'm a motherfucking virus.
Michael Gallup, career earnings, $30 million flat, basically.
Made out like a bandit. Even if you got taxed on the majority of it, you're still living pretty good as long as you managed your money well.
Yeah, there's no reason.
And they're in Texas.
There's no reason he shouldn't have, say, you know, $8 to $10 million sitting in his bank account right
until
now.
Until he moved to Vegas, and because he's a compulsive gambler.
Well, same thing with million. Vegas, Nevada. You don't pay the. Well,
yeah, but you have all the gambling, and
but you got a lot of sin.
What round was Michael Gallup drafted in?
Third.
There you go.
Third round. Pretty good for a third round pick, man. Shout out to Gallup. He gone.
We love you, Michael Gallup.
He gone.
Now get off our damn screen,
you Raider bum.
You bum.
Sorry, that was.
That was kind of it's like a
that little, was your cue. That was cue that, of that was your behind base in behind base
to get it off the screen.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, nicely done. That's good. That was very. That was subtle.
AJ was doing it. AJ was multitasking over here. He was getting Gallup stuff up. He was hitting my long tail keyword SEO searches on the episode here. You know, I get the basis there.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do.
I just added the shorter version of your long. Of your long tail.
Bro hits it. Bro hits it hard, and I'm expecting you to go in there and carry that up, you know? What do we got next?
I'm going to pull up this video just to have it play.
Oh, you're disgusted about it, though.
I don't like it, because I don't think they offered us enough, but it can play whilst we talk about...
Da-da-da, training camp.
And now, if this gets us... Gets his flag. It'll
be
over or not. Okay.
Dallas Cowboys, their website or their YouTube never gets you.
Okay. Well, we are getting ourselves ready, and you damn well know the Dallas Cowboys are getting ready because they are already actually in Oxnard, California for the kickoff of Dallas Cowboys training camp 2024. And this right there, that's our boy Kyle Humans.
That's humans. It tripped me out when you were talking and he was talking. It looked like it was like he had your voice.
Only thing, Kyle Humans, love you. Don't want to throw any disrespect and shade, but the pant jacket shirt combination, bad look. Get some darker pants on. That's my call.
Just because you can see his bulge.
Well, the bulge I'm fine with. Actually, the bulge I want, but I just think the pants just don't mesh for me.
I wish that he just went full Canadian tuxedo, just pure denim.
Denim.
I mean, she's kind of going with some denim.
Yep.
She's got heavy pockets, and inside of those pockets are Dallas Cowboys tidbits. Not really. This video I didn't think was really great, and you're going to get better information from us right now. Yep. So one of the things actually that they did talk about actually didn't get any insights for you boys, but biggest... And we have talked about this, but I'm excited. Biggest head-to-head matchups, I guess positional matchups that we're looking to see while we're there the first week, August 5th, or I guess maybe second week, August 5th to August 9th. CanFan's going to be at the training camp. We're going to be watching all that action. And who's that biggest matchup that you're looking for? Either by position or just two players. Maybe it's offensive, defensive players. Let's see how they go at it. Or maybe it's a position battle. Tell me.
Running backs for me, man. I want to see who's gonna be that lead dog. And it's out there that it's going to be committee by, backed by committee, but they're still going to be a top guy. Yeah. So I want to see, can Rico Dowdle get out there and supplant Zeke and be that first dude? Or is Zeke going to get that 15 and find a little youth splash and get a second going here with his second time back with the Dallas Cowboys?
It makes sense to me that Zeke would enter the season, or at least even just be in training camps. You have to beat out Zeke to get that top spot. But I do agree, it's not going to be like heavy load on Zeke, and then we're going to divvy up the rest of these between the boys. I think it's going to be much more spread out. But I think that, you know, if you had to call it, Zeke will be the kind of lead back until what I really do hope is Rico Dowdle comes to his own this season.
We need a good nickname for Rico Dowdle. I always feel like Jason Schwartzman in Slackers. I like you. I'm gonna give you a nickname.
I think it's just Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. Okay, that's good. Uncle Rico's good.
Man, Slackers. I gotta rewatch.
There's probably so many good soundbite gems in Slackers. 100%
because I send that.
I like you. I'm gonna give you a nickname. That's
yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna grab it.
What did you share today?
I shared the friends forever. Oh, yeah. We'll be friends. We'll be friends.
So, I thought that would be
so. We'll get that. Ultra Cowboy says, "Don't stop sleeping on Rico." He was saying that as you guys were talking about it, and then he goes, "Rico Suave."
That's a good Rico Suave. That is a good
Rico
one.
Rico Suave or Uncle Rico, and I think those two we could get those two sound bites as well.
And I think it could just be a grab bag until something settles. But I like Rico Suave. Uncle Rico's good.
Guys, I'm looking at this title that they have right now where they're showing Big Mike. Offense looks to take leaps in McCarthy's second year as play caller.
I feel that.
Okay. Well, hey, the video did come too.
I've been reading some of the titles, and I mean that's a good one. Do you think there's going to be a lot more to his?
Well, wait. I like what's going on. Look, Mike, just shave it, dude.
You're talking about his. It's the camera can't see it.
He looks, my
screen.
Oh shit!
It's okay. Just leave it. There. Oh, you had it.
Well.
You boosted.
I'll just boost it back. There we go.
Look at that hair. That rooster tail.
He looks like
he does.
He looks like he didn't render.
Yeah. This is a weird AI.
But yeah, the question here that you mentioned is offense looks to take a leap in McCarthy's second year as play caller.
Did you guys not have that video up the whole time?
Yeah, it's been.
Oh, is it good?
Oh yeah.
This is actually been good. Like, if it looks like we did some
editing,
and we just have, but we didn't.
Thanks, DallasCowboys.com. Hey, we're shouting out our sources.
Okay, get rid of these fucks. But what do you guys think? Could McCarthy's offense take leaps? Like, well, realistically, what's that mean?
Is that the second question, or are we going to go with our matchups?
Second question. You guys do your matchup. Sorry.
So I'm excited. I'm going to say.
Oh, yes, matchups first.
I'm going to say the thing I'm most excited.
And Phantom, right?
Yeah, the matchup I'm looking for, and this could be a lame one, is I want to see how Guyton does on that line.
Lame. Just kidding. That's a good one. That's a great one. So Guyton versus pretty much Guyton versus the world, or Guyton versus Adoga?
Guyton versus himself.
That's always the best battle.
I want to see Guyton versus Micah. I want to see Guyton versus Tank. I want to see him up against our defense.
Nice.
Because then that's the fan eyeball check.
What about the scrimmage that we're going to be at? You're going to see Guyton versus the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, who's he going to be lining up against on the Rams there? I don't know enough about the Rams line.
Von Miller.
Is it? You think it'll be Von Miller?
I think Von Miller still plays.
Is Von Miller still playing?
I know Aaron Donald's not there anymore, but the Rams will still. It'll be nice to see them play against.
Do you think that it's gonna go? Stuff's gonna go down. You think there's gonna be a?
There'll be scraps. Oh, yeah, there'll be scraps.
Yeah.
Hey,
there always is.
If I was gonna be cut the next week, I'm fighting.
You're hitting.
I'm hitting. I'm out eye gouging, and I'm ripping and twisting.
Oh, yeah. You got to twist.
Yeah.
Twist and pull.
Grab and twist. Twist
grab and pull. Twist.
Rip and tear.
Bop it. Twist it. Shake it.
The guy who I want to see is Kalen Carson, the rookie.
Ooh,
I like that.
Rookie CB because
deep dive.
Kind of forgot about him. Big hype on the dude. So if he can come in and challenge either Diggs or not so bland.
Yeah.
Not even that he would take over their position, but if we can get a trifecta in there, a three-headed monster. Yep. And Kalen Carson is on that rookie deal. You almost want to make sure he gets enough playing time. And that's going to be difficult to divvy out because we got two pretty much starting cornerbacks right now.
Yeah.
With Bland and Diggs. But
I like that you guys both went with draft picks.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know anyone else on the team. I think we know where they are. I guess the only other question is, like, is Sammy Dubs going to take that inevitable leap that we wanted to want to see him take? How about Schoonmaker, Mozzie Smith?
A lot of second-year questions.
A lot of second-year questions.
I don't know enough. Like, I mean, you're going to see Diggs out there running, and I'm not, like, I don't know enough to say, oh, he's a little bit slower on that turn or that cut. He's favoring that knee.
Well, oily hips. He's got some oily hips.
It was like the year that he balled out and was an all-pro. He was getting torched at camp, and everybody was posting about him getting torched at camp. But realistically, every cornerback gets torched in one-on-one.
Oh,
like
yeah.
If you're going one-on-one against a wide receiver, like CeeDee Lamb, even Brandon Cooks, you should lose. Like, if you don't have any over-the-top help and it's just 1v1 with a quarterback, the wide receiver should win every time.
Unless you're playing 15 yards back.
Exactly. It's very concerning if the wide receiver isn't winning. But I remember the year that there was, like, Twitter blew up when Trevon Diggs got burned by Semi Fiokco. Like, it just went nuts. And then I think he had his best season that year. So it's like, it's hard to tell as far as, I mean, you'll be able to tell if a guy's doing good. I think there's more credence in how, say, like for AJ's example with Kalen Carson, seeing him in the scrimmage versus the Rams, or him against, or him in like 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's where you can actually see the mind work, and it's not just a physical thing, right? Like, one-on-one is like all of my agility, my speed versus yours. And, yeah, if I'm guessing where you're going to go, you're probably going to have the edge on me as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So it's actually, they showed here.
Well, actually, there's a news flash with a $10 super chat. Feedspot.com nades Cowboys can't fan the number 3 Dallas Cowboys podcast in the world. Described as an uncensored, intoxicated ride. Number 3 on the charts, number 1 in our hearts. Congrats, boys. Boosh. Oh,
Boots.
You know
Boots.
Who that is, right?
Yeah, I knew that was Boots right away. Thanks,
Boots.
Baji,
we'll be sending you our $20 that we agreed.
Well, $9 Americans, yeah. Like $35
no,
Canadian.
We're like, Boots, you have to give us super chats so we look cool.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Ultra was saying bold prediction. Cowboys fans will fall in love with Leafau and Overshown. I was going to say the linebackers with Marshawn Nealon, like he named the linebacking core.
But Nealon's not a linebacker.
Sorry, not Kendricks. I meant Kendricks. I was thinking Kendricks and what Zimmer's going to do with the linebacking core. He mentioned Marshawn
Shower?
Nealon. Yeah. Just shower with the guys. And a core who showers with their DC wins together, boys.
Hey, you don't know it until you try it.
Man, is it just me or is Mike's nipples cutting through the soap?
Like his gut just all got nips.
And he just wants to reenact the scene from Starship Troopers when they're in the co-ed shower?
No, he wants to reenact the scene from Viggo Mortensen.
Oh,
when they fight in Eastern Promises?
Eastern Promises.
In the bathhouse? Yeah.
Fight me.
Hey.
Fight me, as he's saying. That's all.
Actually, he walks up to the guys and he's like, let me just show you what you're doing wrong with your hand work here. He starts to like speed chop them and like chop them down or anyways.
So coming up, they're going to show their top battles. So this will be good. We might get a couple sub headlines. This video is actually turning out to be okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Inside training camp. Guys, we're going to be there.
That's Frisco. We might go to Frisco again on that Friday night to watch some Friday Night Lights.
Hell yeah. I'd love to go there and yell at some high school kids. You're junk! You're garbage! Is that your boy?
Is that your kid? Because he sucks. Your kid sucks bad.
Or we go there and we do a skit where we pretend to be scouts from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like,
oh, hey, that's a good idea.
We like your kid.
Has he thought about playing in the CFL?
Have you ever heard of the University of British Columbia?
Yeah.
Because they're looking for a DN like that.
Yibisi.
It's a 5-star school in Canada.
But we call it.
Yeah, in Canada.
Yibisi.
In Canada.
In Canada. Actually, Cowboys Chris is in the podcast chat right now. He says, brothers, Chris, what's the Texas, what's the Dallas-Fort Worth area high school that we should be rooting for? Just so that we know. When we go down there, what type of...
I don't think when we're down there, we'll be during, I think, Texas, like the whole area.
Oh.
Because it's not just Fort Worth and Dallas. I think it's like the bigger, like Frisco.
Well,
it's in Frisco where they play, right?
It would be sweet if they had the game that night again.
Yeah. Oh, they will. It'll be the the playoffs. Guys, so QB2 battle here. They're talking about Cooper Rush and Trey Lance, which we've talked about a little bit.
Last week. Talk about old news, DallasCowboys.com, aka Yeomans.
I'll just bump with that. That's going to be exciting, and I think our consensus was we know the ceiling, we know the floor of Rush. We really need to discover that with Trey Lance.
If he's got it or not.
If he's got it or not.
And we talked literally last week I want to see them play against the same competition in the preseason, and who's going to be better. It should be simple.
And then whoever wins out in the first two preseason games, run them.
Run them in the third. Give them the third. Yeah. Maybe give the bum that's going to be the third string the last quarter.
Yep.
But yeah, start them. Definitely. 100%. You want to toss me one there, son?
Yep.
Toss me one, son.
AJ's cautious, but that's what I like.
AJ throws one pick and he can't get it out of his head.
Guys, we were way ahead of this video. We talked about this starting center, Brock Hoffman and Cooper Beebe. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, they're just rehashing their key, like out of their 20 questions that they've done, they're probably taking the hot topic issues.
So they're rehashing.
They're taking us rehashing their article and then rehashing what we say on their video. Classic DallasCowboys.com.
Cowboys Chris says, SOC, Duncanville, Highland Park is where Jerry's grandkids attend, and Alan High and Melissa High.
You know I'm a Duncan Park guy.
I like Alan and Melissa High. Those are my favorites.
I'm a Duncan Park through and through.
Duncanville?
Duncanville Park.
There's Duncanville and then Highland Park.
Oh, yeah, I like both of them, so I mixed them.
Okay.
Yep. God, what the hell? These guys are my right running backs. Who will carry most of the load? Very sexual title, by the way.
Well, we know it's not going to be Deuce Vaughn.
Well, Yeomans, what kind of title are you trying to do here, okay? You got to be a little bit more conservative on DallasCowboys.com's YouTube channel,
who
right?
Who will carry most of the load?
I think it's going to be Rico Dowdle.
It's got to be. But I like me some Zeke too, guys. Like,
I would love for Zeke to have all of a sudden he has
1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean, I think that's pretty
hopeful. I think the reality for that is you want Rico Dowdy to end the season as the unanimous starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys, so that can roll out into next year, make us feel a lot more comfortable. But it's more than likely going to start with Zeke Elliott being the starter, quote unquote. But I don't think it's going to be as lopsided as we've seen in the past. So that's a beautiful building.
I'm good with a couple smash mouth dudes, man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
A couple smash mouthers just keep pounding the rock. We didn't get to see that last year. And now you got a couple mumbo jumbos, bigger dudes on the offensive line. That's what we're going for.
It's probably right now the weakest running back room in the NFL, or arguably. However, if Zeke comes back with a little pizzazz, because he's back in Dallas, he got kicked out of the house, he had to go live on his own for a year.
Couch surfing,
didn't like it, came back. Now he's got his old room again. We didn't change anything, you know. We did wash the sheets. he comes in, he's living at home again, he's going to be on his best behavior. And then it's Rico Dowdle, who's like, I'm playing for my next contract this season and next season. And he's got the opportunity. It's his to lose, in my opinion. And so we're in a good position for that to be, like, at this point, probably one of the worst ranked running back rooms to, I don't know, mid-season-ish, really turning that around, getting to, like, more of the middle of the pack, which I think would be a significant improvement. You know, if you're pushing into that top 15, 12, dare I say 10, that would just mean that Rico Dowdle is having an awesome season, or Zeke Elliott is back and he's ready to attack and eat.
Four and a half yards a carry, 12 touchdowns. Ooh, yeah. That'd be nice.
Last big time running back that won a Super Bowl. I will wait.
Marshawn Lynch.
Seattle Seahawks. What year was that?
2011.
2011, I think, yeah.
I'm not sure the exact year, but Marshawn Lynch. Because it's true, people have said this, and I went back and checked, and it was Marshawn Lynch. But I mean, Pacheco's starting to look like a big time running back, and he's won two Super Bowls. It's he wasn't a big time running back at the time. I think it's more so maybe not big time running back, but running back on his second contract.
Running back,
established running back.
And you know, I agree. I love Pacheco. I think he's a great running back.
He's not a star like a
KC has a rotation that they do use with their running backs. And here's the hard thing about that question, Ultra. I don't know that many. I don't know that that's going to be something moving forward that many teams have at this point in the NFL. It probably will. You know, everything ebb and flow. So eventually, that'll come back where teams are utilizing a dominant running back for their play calling. But right now, it seems like it's like we want to spread this ball around, and if we have a bunch of quality running backs in the room, that's how we want to operate. We don't want to pay another guy for a second year when we can be drafting these guys to accomplish the same results.
But if you look at the both NFC teams that were in the championship last year, San Francisco and Detroit, Detroit used a first-round pick on a running back.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs, and had Montgomery, who was a very good running back. And then the San Francisco 49ers have Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. So just because they haven't won the big game, they still got their team there.
Oh, yeah,
Both teams had stud running backs and running backs that they used resources for. And the Niners were an overtime loss away from winning the Super Bowl. So that win there completely erases that logic. But he's right. Like, there is...
Well,
any position, you can kind of rinse and repeat with running backs more than any other position, maybe.
Right now.
But yeah, I think there's still value. Like, Bijan Robinson, I could see him being a big part of Atlanta going far this year, right? Like, there is still value to me having a very good running back.
Well, I agree. And you just watch in the next, I'm going to know, it's going to be too hard to...
8 years?
For anyone. I say within the next 5 years... The wide receiver market's going to be way over.
It's too inflated now.
Well, it's too inflated, and then it's going to be like, what are we doing? Like, there's 17 great, good enough running backs coming in each year to the NFL, and maybe it's only 5 or 10, but still, you add that up, and suddenly, you know, supply is high.
Well, I think
you don't need to pay these guys.
Just because it's easier to find a running back that's plug and play, it's weird that they've gotten so devalued, because when you do find those guys, you should still want to retain them or even have them on your team in the first place, right? It's just such a weird thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's the fall off between like wide receivers of a first round grade to a fifth round grade is a bigger gap than like a running back from a first round grade to a fifth round grade.
And the money is needing to go into quarterbacks, right? And needing to go into some defensive players. So I think it's just a matter of... If the running backs banded together and said, no, we're not going to take this, which
we're not going to take it.
But there's really nothing.
We're not going to take it.
nothing they can do.
Don't falsetto us over here.
But crack them. If you
got them, son.
The other big news here at training camp is CeeDee Lamb is not expected to report. Does that rub you the wrong way? How do you feel about it?
I think it's the right move by him. I wouldn't report if I was him either. He's in today's NFL, I get it. He's under contract. He's supposed to play his fifth year. He's outplayed his rookie contract. Any other wide receiver that has played like that would already have a contract figured out. So I think he's doing the right move. There's no point of him going out there. He's going to get paid. I'm calling it right now, August 6th. CeeDee Lamb is going to get paid. We will be there. It's going to happen. He's going to get paid in the morning. He's going to show up in pads August 6th. CanFan will be on location. It's going to be epic.
And we're going to get the first interview with him back.
Right, and we will be. There's $10 super chat. Sorry, shit, we have the rules to just try to get it in.
It's true. Hey,
so this one's from Rough Deity. It says, love the show, exclamation mark. How did you guys become Cowboys fans? Anthony, you hit it first.
Yeah, just 2005, 2006. Getting into football. I was 17, 18 years old. Started watching the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys were always on TV. Tony Romo took over for Drew Bledsoe. Terrell Owens was there. Marion Barber was there. They had a very good defense. They were on every single channel that in Canada that had sports. So I kind of started watching them. They had a very, very good season and then lost to Seattle. And then the following year, they were the best team in the NFL. And I was sunk.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I was a fan for life after that one. And two heartbreaks, those first two playoffs games that I watched as the Cowboys lost the wild card versus Seattle where Romo fumbled it. And then in the divisional round against the Giants where they lost like 17-14. And I was actually in Australia watching it. And I was like, man, this sucks.
But, we like this. Oh, no.
Might.
No.
No.
The Cowboys lost. No.
Mate. That's just not. I said, that's just not right, mate.
That's just not right, mate. Well, Alex and I, as the Bandwagon Boys, we're both free agents for NFL teams, and it's because of Anth.
Shout out. Meet them boys.
That we became Cowboy fans. We started to produce his podcast show, and within 6 months of us producing it over 4 years ago, we said, let's plant our flag. I know it was.
Wasn't it 3 years? This is our third season coming.
Yeah.
This is our fourth
season. So yeah. Fourth football season, but 3.5 years ago.
Sorry, 3.5 years ago.
Because you get
fourth season.
Because we started in the off season. So we had 2021 season, 2022, 2023. And then this, but we saw three seasons in 3 years. And then the fourth one kind of starts 3.5 years
out. Yeah. We'll just say so.
But you guys are on your fourth season, like football season.
Yeah.
Which I think that's the way to go. Like, this is your fourth season as diehards.
But I mean, growing up when I wasn't even watching football, you saw the Cowboys. You knew who Emmitt Smith was. You knew who Troy Aikman was.
Deion Sanders. So, no one knew Deion Sanders when he played for the Falcons in Canada.
Yeah.
Really?
No, 100%. So,
in Canada.
And then Hard Knocks, we watched that season. They just happened to do Hard Knocks as we were talking about the Cowboys.
That brought me
in. 2 to 3 times a week. So that's how we became it. And Rough Deedy, thanks for being a fan. And thanks for the super chat.
We appreciate chatting
us there, dog. And thanks for derailing the fucking show, Rough Deedy.
He did it.
I'm going to hit some other chats right now here.
Yeah, get some chat going. He's a chat boy.
Okay. Just while you're looking, I also, just on this.
Oh yeah, sorry.
CeeDee Lamb contract.
Yeah, bring it up.
Last year, Martin got signed on August 14th.
Yes, we weren't there.
We weren't there, but I'm just saying, like, he held out.
So you think my August 6th
prediction's
stupid? Is what you're telling me?
I'm saying
just a stupid idiot.
It's, yeah, we do.
Well, actually, you know what? That's for the chat to decide, okay? I'm just throwing out the facts. But what do you think of the kind of hysteria, if I can be so bold to say, around we got to sign CD, we got to sign Dak? I don't remember that last year from Martin.
There was a bit, but everyone was like, man, he's been here for how many years? He's an all-pro. He could miss time. Whereas this, like, guaranteed every time there's a drop pass at camp.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right there. We'll be right there saying, crack 'em if you got 'em, son.
Crack 'em. Do you think, here's my last thing on this, because I've heard people
saying. Yes, I do think, because I'm a human being.
We don't know this, AI Adam.
Actually, we don't. Hey, cut him open.
I am AI.
I'm going to hold him down. Rip his belly open.
Oh, interesting. There's intestine.
It's that scene from Terminator Salvation where I finally realize that I am not an actual person.
That scene's intense.
It
is. Hang on. Gotta
crack do
it.
Him.
Crack him if you got
not
him.
Not to mention, that's exactly what AI would have done to kind of get away from us knowing that he was AI. Bring up a movie scene where... You know, this is very sneaky.
Classic AI.
Well, he is. I can't wait to put you in one of my human zoos.
I can't wait to kill you.
And you know it's going to be an old reference because he doesn't have that updated.
Yeah.
So he's only updated till 2022 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, what about that new movie that just came out? I don't know what that is.
Are you talking about?
I only watched movies from 1982 until 2022. No, but is CeeDee Lamb not being at training camp? Because I've heard people say in the media, the Cowboys need CeeDee Lamb there for these wide receivers, for leadership role, et cetera, which I don't really buy into, but I just want to hear yours, dude, thoughts. Because for me, it's like, I don't care. I don't mind if my star wide receivers are not into, I'm not going to help other players. I'm going to focus on me. It's like, if that's what he's needing for his mentality, then that's what he gets. Like, that's our fucking star studded wide receiver. I'm not saying CeeDee Lamb is like that, by the way.
The only position that I think needs to be a leader is quarterback, realistically. Like, with it, without it being a knock on the player.
There needs to be a leader on the defense.
On the defense,
too. And there needs to be other leaders in the offense.
But it doesn't have to be a certain position.
No.
Like, on defense, just because Micah Parsons is the best player on defense, he doesn't necessarily need to be the leader. Like, if Kendricks comes in and he's the leader, and maybe he's not, doesn't have this best statistical season, I don't care about that. And I think it's the same with CeeDee Lamb. Like, I don't think CeeDee necessarily needs to be the leader or even a captain because he's already, like, he's under Dak Prescott's
regime.
It's still Dak Prescott's team, right? So I don't necessarily think that.
But do you believe that there does need to be someone on the defense that is that essential captain or leader?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But and it looked like last year, it looked like Overshown was really looking to...
For a young guy, yeah.
For a young dude, it looked like... I'm not going to say he was going to take that, but he was offering himself to be like, I'll be that leader. And, you know, unfortunately, he had that injury. But yeah, with CeeDee Lamb, I don't... If he misses all of camp, I'm still not worried as long as conversations are going. I want you to win your bet, by the way, so then he shows up in camp when we're there. But if it does go, you know, the week before the season, that's still, you know, okay, because we've seen what he can do. He's going to be preparing for the offense, or sorry, for the season. He's going to be preparing in his own way. We're not really going to get a lot of in training camp. Yeah, it would be great for Dak and Lamb to go out there and throw just to shake off any rust that might have happened over the off season, but
any barnacles
get you scrape the barnacles off their balls, you know?
Barnacle Bill the sailor.
But I'm honestly just saying this because I am just trying not to worry about it. So
I think it's as far as it's nice to get some other players in there to get some reps too.
If it was okay, CeeDee comes back, but he's going to eat up a bunch of passes, and we're going to then not have as much data, visual and otherwise, on these players. Because mind you, we are going out there and we're putting Apple tags on all the players. We're going to get all of their stats, their feeds. Yeah. Adam's going to be sneaking into the change room.
Well, I just had to eyeball test them with my AI.
Yeah, Adam's got AI eyes.
AI ad 3000.
It would be nice to see Prescott or whoever is going to be working that first team offense. We want to see what these other wide receivers can do. Are we going to have after Cooks, or is Cooks going to drop down to third and someone else is going to overtake him? You know, this is what we want to see. And that would be awesome. Like, you're hoping for that. Not because you want to see Cooks, you know, get knocked down a peg.
But you want to see one of these young guns.
If they can beat him, then that just means we're that much better.
For sure.
Oh, for show. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to go on to the play of the week?
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, let's do effing play of the week.
Okay, let me send it to you. Casey's play.
Yours.
Dan Casey's play of the week.
It's my breakdown of Dan Casey's play of the week.
Well, technically, it's this
it's
week.
Dan Casey's breakdown of Dan Casey's
This is going to be Dan. I'm going to basically verbatim.
I'm okay. Verbatim. I was just trying to say that you weren't prepared last time, and it's just you've just proved that you're not prepared this time. So
yeah.
Just do a full breakdown, Dan Casey style. I'm okay with that.
So I'm going to send AJ this.
You know what?
Add Casey.
Here's the beautiful thing about this book. Adam can come in unprepared, and he can still deliver a quality.
Totally.
It might even be better.
Exactly.
He hasn't had time. Oh, well, Ad's looking up and sending stuff. I got a side story.
Okay, side story.
Last night, I went to watch my nephew play football practice, and I got my first-hand experience of Coach Adam Bessie on the field.
What was he doing? Was he Zimmer-like? Was he McCarthy-like?
So when I first got there and I took a seat over in the shade with our mother and Adam's wife, Adam was kneeled down with a group of players, and he had a board with a marker, and he was drawing up plays. So he looked the part right off the go. And then the more I watched Adam, the more he looked the part. Do I know what he was saying? No.
Well, neither do I. I did not know what I was saying.
Well, you can't say that. As a coach, you always have to instill that unbiased confidence.
I didn't know what...
Unwavering confidence.
I might walk across the field not knowing what I'm saying, but my confidence is 100%. The kids respect me. They say, yes, coach, right away, coach.
Yes.
I made them run other gainers at the end of practice because I felt they weren't giving their all in the last little bit of conditioning. No, what we're on like our first few practices, we're installing our offensive scheme. So I had all of our offense and I was showing them our kind of our empty set plays or our spread plays that we're going to be doing. So
spread.
Yeah.
Coach said spread.
But it is challenging. I mean, at the 10 and 11 year old, it's challenging. Amen. A lot of them actually have some pretty decent knowledge. And then when you have new players and you're trying to position them in terms of, man, I will say this 100% coaching like lacrosse, pretty easy.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Coaching
there's
lacrosse.
There's so much flow, right? There's so much flow in lacrosse.
Football?
It's basketball with basketball, with lacrosse sticks.
Easy. Like, because you're kind of like, you can put systems in.
It doesn't
in.
Stop. The game continues. Yeah.
Football, it's like every player needs to have an assignment.
And
every
has to do their job.
Yeah. Every player needs to do their job.
Where lacrosse and basketball and even hockey is free-flowing, where it also bases a lot on the player's instincts, right? Where football, you need to, if no one knows what they're doing, or if half the team doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, and like we have guys who've been playing for a few years. So like you would think that at this level, it's Pee-wee, you're not going to have to. We spent almost half the practice doing a tackle progression walkthrough because the guys just weren't. It's like you guys have tackled. You're one of our best tacklers on the team. Why are you tackling? So you just got to kind of run through the motions and it eats it up. And it's summertime and kids are gone. So it's just.
It's hot.
It's hot, but okay. So Dan,
I want to go get some trim.
I'll say this
coach.
Though. One last thing: if Ad was entered in, say you put Ad in the NFL as a head coach, he dethroned Sean McVay as hottest NFL coach.
You hear that?
And he looked it. He was walking around. He had the walk going. I was like, hey, Coach Ad Best out there doing his thing.
What would you outdo vanilla pudding?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Vanilla pudding
looks like he was made in a laboratory. Just like
I don't. This is why we're bandwagon brothers. This is why. Our Dan Casey play today is Chargers cross field lateral. So this is from 2023 Chargers trips left tackle shield screen. They call it a cross field lateral. So. I brought this one up because
this is a cool play.
I brought it up because it mentions Kellen Moore. Dan Casey mentions Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator.
Okay.
AKA Vanilla Pudding, AKA we played the Chargers last.
No, he's not the Dungeon Master.
At one point, he was
a Dungeon Master. I was hoping that this was going to be from the Cowboys game that we attended, but it wasn't. But the attachment to our show and to this play is Kellen Moore and the fact that we beat the Chargers on Monday Night Football. So while in 2023, 2023 was a tough year for the Chargers. Sorry,
not to stop you, but let's bring that play up. Did you want to bring it up on the screen?
Oh yeah, that's right. I should
audio listeners. You're like, what? I can't see anything. Yeah, because you're listening to audio.
So maybe let's go down to the play. Let's go down to the play first.
Come over here to YouTube.
Go to the X's and the O's.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay, so here's the X's and O's. So the breakdown is, this is from Dan Casey's words, so all shout out to Dan Casey. I always keep an eye on the creative designs from Kellen Moore. His offensive in Dallas was consistently at the top of the league, and he always added interesting wrinkles. Questionable.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Casey's losing favor.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but Kellen Moore had no problem getting yards and being the best offense, but... He lacked in difficult situations. He lacked in getting first downs when we needed them. Bad decision makings and times.
Like at some points, not trying to go for points, just dialing it down a little bit. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Reading the
controlling
room,
controlling the ball. Read the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Read the room, man.
So Dan Casey seems to love Kellen Moore though, because he goes on to say, particularly in the past game, every once in a while you see a play that makes you jump out of your seat.
Is that why he's on his third team in 3 years, Kellen Moore?
This crossfield lateral from the Charter certainly did that for me. On third and long, you will often get conservative coverage from the defense. One way to combat that is with a shield screen followed by a crossfield lateral to the running back. I remember first seeing this a few years ago is when New York Jets ran it. I don't understand why this isn't attempted more often. In my mind, the biggest risk is the lateral being thrown out of bounds. I hope football follows the lead of rugby and we start seeing more laterals.
So. It is a cool play. And when you first showed the highlight of it.
So let's just, yeah, you can go up to the.
Well, I just real quick. What's happening here? And tell me what's happening here.
Okay, so you can see the slot receiver, the Z receiver, is going to be doing a fade. You have your X receiver who's going to be doing a slant. And
is the quarterback looking? Is that what these dotted lines are?
He's looking. It's a pass. That's the pass.
So he's either what, and then the.
Then the X passes it to the running back. Oh,
okay.
That's the lateral. Yeah. So the quarterback quarterback throws it to X, and then X throws it to the running back.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Hey, so, I'm into it.
You love it.
I am into it.
And then you can see your tight ends are your tight ends and then your third.
There is no tight end.
I guess the Y could have been a tight end.
Could be tight end, could be wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
The Z is clearing the zone, basically, for the running back to get open. Yeah.
And you're
heavy set on the other side of the field, so that most of your defensive backs and secondaries are going to be looking that way. The actual pass draws.
You're in trips.
Right. Yeah. So the quarterback passes to X, who's running a little slant behind two blockers who are running up to block. Drawing the attention while Z is clearing the other side of the ball, and the running back runs out for X to throw to him in what should be a clear
first down. You'd want to run this in man coverage because then the Z's got somebody with him and the running back's got a linebacker on him, right? So the only person the running back's really got to beat is his linebacker to the outside.
And if the linebacker hesitates or bites a little on that pass to X, that's what you're looking for, right?
Yep.
So, and if they kind of ran slants prior here, this would be really good. See, the running back's wide open.
That's amazing.
The running back's wide open.
See, this is what I missed.
It's a good, nice first down play right there.
This is what I missed. I didn't see the pass
to the running back.
I didn't see the pass to the wide receiver first. I thought it came from the quarterback.
So. Let's just also appreciate, look at how fast those football players move. As soon as it goes to the running back, they close on him. He almost doesn't get that first down.
Yeah.
So hey,
but almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, my man.
The defense is playing a zone coverage too. This would work really good playing man coverage. If the defense was playing man coverage, it would have even worked better.
And in true Dan Casey fashion, he always gives you a side angle and then a behind angle, and I love this about it.
I do like that. So he does is puts the NFL logo in it, and he can use the footage.
It might just be Dan Casey doesn't give a shit.
No,
Dan Casey gives two shits.
No, this is he's loaded it up as like a GIF.
It's a GIF, so it's
a little bit different.
So it's quicker to load when you bring it up and
okay,
it's just on a landing page.
Double pass. I would love to see the Cowboys run something like that.
Well, there it is, the ultimate guide bundle. Oh, the ultimate guide bundle.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty sweet. I might have to look at that. Ramilia Sports Report says 1995 VHS tapes. He's not wrong,
but it works. It keeps the load time low, and we appreciate it, Casey. Putting his work in.
That's why AJ missed the second pass because you couldn't see
what was going on.
It was one frame. So
you wonder how we used to watch sports before.
Man, do you guys remember when we first started getting Sunday Ticket and only certain games were in 4K, like HD?
Oh, yeah.
And the other ones, like,
you're watching a stretch screen.
You just couldn't even watch the other games.
EJ Savage says, Y is a TE. Yeah, so typically, yes. Y is the tight end. The H, though, on there is...
he is there, but a Y receiver can be a wide receiver.
Could be anything.
It could be... Like, looking at this, you don't know it's a tight end. He knows it's a tight end when you went down to the video.
Could have four wideouts, could have two wideouts and two tight ends, or could have three wideouts and one tight end.
Yeah, typically the Y on if they were going to have a receiver there, he would be labeled a different number, a different letter than Y, most likely for the playbook.
In a CFB 25, it's usually RB, so I don't know.
You mean RB on there?
it's an RB. Okay, hey, awesome, dude. Yeah. Hey, man, this is, I'm glad we get to do this. I'm going to keep touting it because, we learned something from this, so I love it. Now we got to get into our last of the top 20 questions for the Dallas Cowboys.
And this is our interpretations of DallasCowboys.com's interpretations of
20 questions going into camp, and camp started tomorrow, guys. First day of training camp.
It's exciting.
That is
exciting. Should we mention we're going to be doing a show on Friday to recap the first days of camp.
Say it up.
Friday night.
We're doing a show. What do we even call it? The Friday night boosh.
This is our second week in a row that we're doing a Friday night show, because last week we did a
Friday night what?
Friday night boosh.
There you go.
Last week it was a Friday night game night,
which was fun. Actually had a lot of.
Boosh out a game night tomorrow on Friday night as well. We'll see.
Could happen. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Okay. Wait, Jay, what do we got here, dog?
So it's just the last three ones, right?
Yeah, last three.
We saved the top three.
What does CD do for an encore? That's what we hit. Okay.
Encore, do you like more?
What's Micah's next step in Zimmer's defense?
Well, you know Zimmer's saying, look, I need to see those nips cutting more soap up in the shower. Yeah.
Sorry, Bot G came up with the best name. Friday Night Lights, Varsity Boosh is what the Friday Night Show should be called.
That should be.
Okay, I didn't mean to.
No, Varsity Boosh is worthwhile.
Yeah,
so Micah's next step in Michael Zimmer's defense.
What's Micah's next step? Okay.
If I was
hopefully Zimmer, 20 sacks.
Exactly. If I was Zimmer, I would just be continuing. It helps now that you have a much more well-oiled or take it for what it is. It's a deeper linebacker group that we have, which allows us to just rush Micah for the amount of times that he's getting rushed anyways, like what, 80%, 70% of the time anyways.
Don't even drop him back to play linebacker.
There's no need to. The only time I would do that is just to add a little question mark for the quarterback. Maybe, 20% of the time.
And then you know what I'm probably doing from him at the linebacking position? Doing like a delayed rush.
A delayed rush.
Because he's fast enough to still get there.
That's it. Stagger his impregnating that O-line, getting through, and like a sperm, getting to that egg.
Finding that egg.
But I wouldn't change much. I would just heighten the amount of times and then work around what Mike is doing on that left side or right. Yeah,
he jumps
wherever around. He is.
He jumps, plays middle. My thing would be in the next step in Zimmer's defense is when Micah is clearly being game planned against to still make him effective.
Right.
So when they're clearly game planning to have some sort of Uno reverse card for their game plan. So that no matter what they do, you're still going to get Micah the chances that he was getting when they weren't game planning. And at this point, every team's game planning for.
So when they double up on him, what's something that Zimmer could do?
I don't know enough to.
Right.
You got to. If he's getting doubled up, that's actually a good way. If he's getting double teamed, get it so that your guys that aren't
film double, it first of all
film it because that will make you lots of money. But when he's getting two guys on. I tried to make it sound less sus, but it didn't work. When he's getting double or triple team, make it so the other dudes on the defense are eating, basically.
Right.
Sorry.
Don't flag us, YouTube. This is
YouTube.
Football.
I swear we're talking about.
I swear, don't put the bots in here. We're talking about.
Kilo, we're talking about football. Someone shout out Kilo. Kilo, where are you? The bots.
Kilo's ears are burning. He's just like prison talks going on right now.
There's prison.
AJ, can you toss me one? We'll add. Or you says your thing.
Go outside, nerd. Get out. Go. I ain't got time to be distracted by your worthless chime-ins. Go on.
That was my chime-in.
Yeah.
What's Micah's next step for me? I think, like, seeing him get past that second... you know what? I actually saw... Sorry. I was going to say get past that second half of the season slumber, but I did see a post that J-Tuck did where it showed Micah's defensive percentage based off of PFF in the first 9 games and the last 9 games. And it was actually higher in the last 9 games. It was like 71% for the first 9. And then his rating was 79% in the last 9.
Do you remember where you saw that? Was it on X?
He probably definitely posted it on X. Instagram is where I saw him post it.
Okay.
So I was about to say, having Micah feel like his momentum in that second part of the season, a bit bigger, but his no, he's just laughing because we're getting prison talk in still, or you're on a different talk.
I went to the wrong talk.
Yeah.
There we go. What were you saying about Micah, though?
Yeah, so I'm Micah.
Trying to find that post.
Yeah, the post for Micah is he's just basically saying you're all sleeping on the lion. Like he actually, his rating from PFF in the last nine games of the season is actually higher than his rating in the first nine season. Yeah, this is the one right here.
You know I got you. Should we just listen to what he's got to say? J-Tuck, don't flag us, you sexy bastard.
Give a damn about that, Tuck. I want Micah Parsons to be more like TJ Watt. I want Micah Parsons to be more like Max Crosby, right? I want Micah Parsons to compete like Myles Garrett, the defensive player of the year. That's the standard that we're holding Micah Parsons to.
No, I just want him to have the same sack numbers.
Hold up. Wait. So I was able to pull some analytics, and thanks for this alley-oop.
Hang on, let me pull it out.
A friend of mine, he tossed it up and slammed it down. Now, these are based off of PFF stats. PFF typically rounds up, so you had half a sack, they counted the sack, right? But if you look at the second half of the season, the last nine games, Micah Parsons had 8 sacks, 54 pressures. The defensive player of the year. You only had 1 sack. Very similar when you compare and contrast what Micah Parsons did.
This is just
looping.
This is just looping back on the
season.
Okay.
He actually just had, and he had a image that he made, and it said the percentages.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is? What if you, and I'm going to be that guy. If you go the last 5 games, the numbers go way different. So yeah, you can find that sweet spot. So what if in games, in the last 8 games, in game 8 and 7, he had 4 sacks, and then he had 6 over the next, or 4 sacks, and then the next 6 he had 4,
yeah,
right? Which is what happened. So yeah, you can cherry pick 8 games, but try doing the same thing with 5 games. And Nick Bosa and TJ Watt, their number's a lot higher. I get the pressures thing is awesome,
yeah,
but there's still an argument that both those guys, Nick Bosa and TJ Watt, over the last 8 games, both had 10 sacks.
Well,
Micah had 8. You know what they had in the prior ones? TJ Watt ended up with 19 sacks over the year.
That's right.
Micah Parsons ended up with 14. It doesn't take a brain, like a brainiac, to say one's better than the other.
And look, I don't think any of us are complaining about getting a 14 sack season.
No, I love it. That's not it. I'll take 14 sacks, but I think it's a little wishy-washy, and I'm not calling out Jay Tucker, baby, I am, so that he makes a video of us calling us bitches or something, which would be hilarious. But I just think it's like,
I'm not calling all of you bitches, but I'm calling you, Ant, a bitch.
Which I'd be fine being called a bitch. Okay, then let's go into postseason sacks with Micah Parsons, right? Who even really cares?
Whoa, no. Hey, whoa. Realistically, what's this guy trying to do?
Yeah, what's he trying to do?
Hey, yo.
Nate Dogg's in the house. Dog. Put Nick Bosa's playoff sacks versus Micah Parsons' playoff sacks, and there's a big difference. So I get the fact that he's still doing his thing. Micah's always going to...
Nick Bosa played more playoff games than Micah Parsons.
Well, I counter that with give me an average of the games then.
I think we've just come... I think I've just discovered...
You came?
You bring up analytics on me like that?
Stat boy!
You surprised me with that...
And
brother Adrian's in the house just sneakily watching. Savage! He goes, hi, Nat.
See you Saturday.
Yes, see you
Saturday. I won't, but happy birthday.
On your birthday.
Happy early birthday,
happy birthday, Eve.
I'm covering.
He's representing.
I'm covering BW.
He's the replacement brother that's coming in. I was just going to make a joke.
I'm the replacement brother you hired. I got my details. Just a few things I want to know.
what
about my character here?
actually, Nate Dogg, he rarely asks a question except he makes sly comments, but just in the mix of this Micah talk. He just says, survey says, who signs first, CeeDee, Ayuk, or Mr. Trent Williams?
Now,
for the record.
For context.
Yeah, Nate Dogg's a San Francisco 49ers fan.
That's right. But he's in our fam. He's a fan.
He's family tree. I'm going to go first person to sign out of those three. I'm saying CeeDee Lamb, baby.
Yeah.
Trent Williams, he doesn't want to go to training camp.
Yeah.
He's older. He doesn't want to do training camp. He's a big lineman.
Smart move.
He wants to do the Zach Martin, get signed mid-August, right? Ayuk, I don't know what happens with Ayuk. I think that might bleed into the season. CeeDee Lamb, August 6th.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, there's no rush for Ayuk. There's no rush for
Ayukin.
Trent Williams. Ayukin. And I don't know how San Francisco's budget is, what their cap is, but it would make the most sense that CeeDee Lamb gets signed first because of the need for that player and just how you do not want to go every day is another article, another conversation.
It's grueling.
In Cowboys Nation, I don't know, Nate, I'm sure the 49ers are just as bad, but Cowboys Nation is vast and loud, and so every day,
unbearable at times.
You know, they had to take Jerry's
salt shaker away.
Salt shaker and laptop away. His old Lenovo Windows 7.
It was my first one.
So the long-winded answer
Windows
is...
Windows XP. He's got Windows XP still.
The long Windows... Yeah, that's, and it's deregistered. It's on a Linux. What's Micah's next step in Zimmer's defense? I think we're going to see a big second half eyeball test, not stat test, eyeball test. We're going to see Micah become a major presence in that second half of the season this year.
That's what I was... that whole roundabout, and thanks for getting us there, Nate Daug, is... We want to see the. We've all answered differently, but when I combine our answers, it's consistency. Mm-hmm, we want to see the consistency from week one through to week eight, playoffs, actually.
Right.
Like, and if that means that he ends up with, say, 16 sacks over the season, okay, but if they're spread out, we're seeing him be consistent. We're seeing those double teams that happen to him help other players get stats, right? Which was. Armstrong, you know, before he jumped ship from us, he got a lot of help from that.
Yep.
Right? And nothing against the guy's talent, but that's what needs to happen. When Micah Parsons being taken out, that means there's more openings on the field, and we need to have the other guys be able to come in there and do that dirty business.
Get that work. Crack them if you got them, son. Okay, question two, baby.
What
I like that we're not even going to go listen to what these.
Oh
these,
shit! Those you guys. Know what we do?
We just got to do a quick.
Yeah, just a quickie.
A little quickie.
Just
so we can say the names. Nick Harris. Sustainability. Okay, fair enough.
Get that elusive defensive player of the year award. He said.
Yeah, and Mickey Bolanese. First, reclaim the player. Reclimate to playing more at linebacker. Don't like that.
No, next.
Don't think it's going to happen.
Our guy, Humans.
Kyle Humans. Continue success late in the season, yes.
Big ball Humans?
Big ball Humans.
Yes, swinging sack.
Swinging, he's big old.
Patrick
Nosey. Patrick Nosey Walker.
Have a conversation. I like. That's for sure. Because you know what's coming up is his contract talk next year.
That's all we're going to be talking about.
Take it next year, no problem. That's our offseason. That's our 2025 offseason talk.
Jesus, they're getting everybody up in this.
Well, everyone has something to say, especially Eat Me Out.
Can we have more sacks in December and January? Those are the two big questions for Parsons if he wants to take the next step. We said that.
That's Nick Eat Me Out, Eat Man.
He basically said that.
Kurt Attitude Era Daniels.
I was going to say Kurt Hallmark Movie Quarterback Daniels.
Yes. In the end, I think we'll see Parsons put up monstrous season, especially since he's got his own contract negotiations coming up. Okay. So, okay. Fuck
they
you guys.
Said everything we said.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Number two, the second last question. What has to happen for Dak to be an MVP? I mean, that's a very good question, honestly, because I thought we saw it last year. Maybe get 100 more rushing yards. I don't know.
No, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dak has to win against the teams that are winning against
other
teams.
Give me the teams. What teams is on the schedule does he have to beat?
Fucking Ravens.
Okay.
He has to beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
He beats those two teams, he's the MVP of the year.
Yeah, but that's early. That's early in the year.
Yeah, but I'm saying
he beats those teams by week 7, he's won both those games, then he crash and burns against the later half of the schedule.
We're just assuming that he's going to
All I needed was one team in the later end of the season and I could have hopped on your answer.
The Eagles?
Yeah, that's good.
Would he get MVP if he wins out those last four or five games of the season, did not beat the Ravens, did not beat Detroit, and did not beat the 49ers. Closes the season tough. Best quarterback in the last 5 weeks.
Because he was the best quarterback statistically in the NFL last season, but...
He lost against the Dolphins, and we thought...
Dolphins?
We thought the Dolphins was... When he lost against the Dolphins, we said... that's the game that lost him the MVP.
No, there's two games. There's back-to-back. Dolphins-Bills.
Oh, yeah, the Bills.
He lost both games. Lost the Dolphins, which was the close game, which you're like, okay, now he needs to compete against Josh Allen and the Bills, and he had under 100 passing yards.
Yeah.
So he needs to win those tough games late in the season. I mean, having a win over the Ravens and a win over San Fran in significant fashion would help.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. Some big games at the end of the year.
See, there you came around to it before I even said it. But Bandwagon Baba says, Ants, just let Adam give his answer without you arguing with him.
No.
Oh.
I will not.
What you guys don't know, some behind baseball, is after the show, Bandwagon Baba always spanks Ant for this. So he.
Well, Ad was coaching yesterday, and I said something about Ad, and then I looked at Mom, and I was like, what, you're not going to tell me not to say something? I forgot what I said. I was like, when you were doing the board, I was like, hey, fucking run some plays or something.
These things
wasn't arguing with you. I just wanted a third team because realistically, the Ravens and the Niners are both within the first 7 weeks.
My third team was going to be the Browns, but if he beats...
That's week one.
I know. But so if we're going to the second part, not even going to say the Eagles. I'm going to see the Bengals.
Okay.
Because if
that's true.
If Mr. Glass 2.0 Joe Burrow is still playing in the second part of the season and he's there, he'll probably be in that kind of contention talk for MVP. If Eminem Burrow is...
Oh, yeah, you guys see that?
Yeah. No. Find the meme where it's like Joe Burrow wants to go to the Super Bowl to finish his story and there's a shot of him beside Cody Rhodes. That was you. Okay, yeah. But
I mean, their last five games, they got Bengals, Cowboys, Cowboys, Panthers, Buccaneers, Cowboys, Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys. So yeah, Bengals. If you,
there he is.
That's pretty good.
That's fucking.
That's hilarious.
Like, Cody Rhodes looks like he is an old actor playing the young Hallmark movie, and you're like,
that's just, I can't see it.
Like, he looks good. He's a great actor, but he's too old. But he's looks 40.
Mel Gibson as William Wallace.
Yeah. Rough Deedy says it's lucky hair. Look at his CFB days. So look at his college football days. Does he have the same cut? Is that what he's
rolling with LSU?
Is he coming back? Guess who's back?
Back.
Burrow's back.
I think this is what Dak needs to do. He needs to be competitive in every game this season.
Yeah. Can't disappear.
And on top of producing the best results,
the big wins,
because the MVP technically is supposed to only be about the season. It's not about what happens in the playoffs. Which is interesting. I always thought that they should do, and they kind of do. They do the Super Bowl MVP, but I always thought they should do a playoff MVP as well, or
playoffs, like the Stanley Cup. Stanley Cup does the Stanley Cup Finals MVP.
That's right, and well, I guess they get that in the one game, but. You know, some guys out.
I think it's for the whole.
No, in the NFL, sorry. Oh, the NFL has one game.
The Super Bowl,
But the Stanley Cup has the finals, and they play 7 games. So.
Okay, well, I think we're all kind of on the same agreements here. What do these dorks say? Nick Harris? And if we see it at camp, Nick Harris, I don't think you're actually a dork. I'm just trying to be funny.
Hey, we're trying to do it for entertainment.
So Nick Harris says what separated them was Baltimore's season success paired with Jackson's playmaking ability. So. Unfortunately,
with his legs, yeah,
bullshit.
Though.
I know, but look, he's not wrong.
With his legs, though.
Yeah.
And look, Dak has floppy feet. We all have seen
Nick,
it.
Harris.
Hairy ass. And how about Mickey Bolognese?
I'm trying to see here. 12 victories, only 4 were recorded against teams with winning records. So last year, 12 and 5. Out of those 12 wins, only 4 were against winning teams. Is that their fault though? Like you can only beat who you play. Hey, right?
It's true, but. You gotta put, usually the blame should go to the coaching staff.
I'd like to see Lamar Jackson's, though, their record, which teams, and we're not going to do it right now, but which teams were, how many teams were under 500? You know what I mean? Like, I get you can sugar pick it with Dak Prescott right now, but I feel like it's probably the same with every quarterback that has over 10 wins. The majority of the teams you're winning against probably aren't.
It's probably
above 500.
You're right. It's probably a lot closer in those top team matchups. When you break down the only one who I might think would be ahead of anyone else over the last, say, 2 or 3 years would be Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Due to his playoff success.
Yeah, but he's got his brother there cheering for him. Like, that seems kind of OP. Fair. Seems a little OP.
Human says, last season, the second time was the second time Dak finished in the top six of the MVP voting. In both those campaigns, he won at least 12 games. Let's get to the fucking.
Because he wants to see consistency. He wants to see a second straight MVP caliber season showing a level of consistency that only the top quarterbacks of the league can show.
Which I think he has it in him.
Yeah.
He has that in him, and it's just been.
Jesus, Patrick.
Patrick Nosey, fucking write an essay on Dak Prescott. We get it.
Jeepers. That is a block of text. Prescott didn't even play in several fourth quarters. Hey, that's true. That is true. There was a lot of fourth quarters. Dak wasn't even out, and he had some pretty crazy numbers. That's something that's overlooked. Seven games he got taken out by the fourth quarter. Right.
Wow.
So several fourth quarters, so his numbers could have even been higher without sacrificing any victories. That said, being more dynamic in certain road situations will go a long way in guaranteeing him a real chance at finally taking home the MVP trophy. So again, that Buffalo and the Miami game.
Eat me out, Eatman. Okay.
Block of text.
So even if he'll be in a conversation again. So even if he did what he did last year stat wise, he'll be in the conversation. Jackson is a different type of threat with his running ability. Fuck with the running ability, you guys. I think one way to show he's better than Lamar is to beat him in a head-to-head duel in week 3, which is what we said. Okay, eat me out. You're speaking our language.
We're passing him.
Personally, this MVP award is starting to remind me a little bit of Michael Jordan in the 90s. He didn't win it every year, but he probably should have. To me, it seems like Patty Mahomes could win this every year. So even Lamar, Dak, Jalen Hurts, and anyone else still has to outshine him.
Oh, so you're basically competing with Patrick Mahomes.
That is the truth, but you just can't. Unless he's... Last year was obviously between Dak and whoever was up next, and that happened to be Lamar, and he took it home because of his sweet sexual legs.
Yep.
Attitude Era Daniel says
Prescott has to take the Cowboys back to the top of the NFC East because if another quarterback has similar production, just like Jackson last year, you have to wonder if Prescott's past struggles in the playoffs will work against him. Hopefully, it won't.
So I think it comes down to he needs to repeat what he did last year. And then also be better.
You got to do what you did last year, but you got to be better.
On the road against winning teams consistently.
Yes. Honestly, what it comes down to is at the end of a game, win or lose, we look at what Dak did and there's not many complaints. You get one or two games this season, Dak.
Yeah.
And that's coming from Cam fan. We don't lie.
No, we don't lie.
We do not lie.
Okay, and the final one, we did it, guys. We got it.
20 questions.
We got through them.
We made it.
The top 20 questions. Super Bowl or playoffs? What's the realistic goal for 2024? And that's a
Super Bowl.
It's a loaded question, I think let's just go to that second half. What's the realistic goal? The goal doesn't mean that's it's what would satisfy you for this season without saying blow this motherfucking chip up.
NFC Championship game.
Yes.
Say it again.
NFC Championship game. They have to make it there. Otherwise, blow this fucker up. I was saying this last year at this point. If they didn't make it to an NFC Championship game, let's figure it out. Unless it was like if they didn't make the NFC Championship game, but there was a hard-fought battle in a divisional or a wild card round and they lost, I was like, I can deal with that. But then they got spanked.
Right.
I was kind of like, blow it up. But this year, I don't care about close game or not in the divisional or the wild card. If you lose in either of those, it's start fresh. You can only do the same thing so many times. This has to be an NFC Championship game or bust. I'm not going to say Super Bowl or bust because...
It's I think only two all, teams make it.
I think we'd all be pretty happy with an NFC Championship appearance, even if they lost. It'd be fucking gut-wrenching. But to me, it's...
That's the next step, right?
Is it realistic? I don't know if it's realistic or not, but in my brain, it's got to be NFC Championship game.
Bot G said, our boy Boots says, I ain't in the studio, but I'm in my living room, jumping, shouting, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. He goes, the best part... was my kids jumped in and participated.
Yes. No
questions asked.
Love it.
That chant just feels good to say.
Hey, let's get them in the, what's it called when soccer teams bring in the young like kids into portal? Let's get them in our portal.
Bring them in the portal.
I agree, man. You got to outdo what you've done in the last, since the last Super Bowl. You've got to get to that NFC Championship. And you've got to I think you also got to have a good game because at the end of this season, if they fail... The easy out is Mike McCarthy's gone and we replace him. That's not a great solution for that problem, right? So if coaching was such an issue, then why is Mike McCarthy still the coach, right?
Well, I think if they don't make it to where, like, if it's another early round exit or maybe they don't even make it, I don't know if Dak's back. I don't know if Mike McCarthy's back. There's a lot of questions.
So you don't think Dak may not even be signed this season?
I'm not sure. Right now, you don't know. So it's hard to...
All the news outlets are all the rumor mags are saying Dak's going to get the deal before CD.
Well, it makes sense because then it would allot the money to sign CD.
True.
Yeah. Kind of what we all thought, too, a little bit.
Free up, like, $10 million.
They might just have a few more outs on this one.
Like, we're not starting this. We're not starting the year. We could technically start the year, obviously, without a Dak Prescott contract. But if CeeDee Lamb's not showing up and he ain't playing, like, that's not good for us.
Good business.
And if they do go down the road of not re-signing, like, not restructuring CD, and they don't sign Dak, and we start the year, and they start to tank, then we know it's a blow-up season, which doesn't make sense either.
So Super Bowl or playoffs, realistic goal for 2024, fellas?
NFC, baby. Super Bowl is just...
It's fun to say and joke
about. It's fun to say and joke about. We love to do it. And Boots, we're going to do another cheer when we're at the training camp. We're going
to
let
everyone know. Oh, yeah, we're going to try to get everybody around us to do it.
Get everyone into the Super Bowl chant.
When Boots picks me up from the airport, I'm going to do a Super Bowl chant with my family and his.
First off, I don't like that you're getting alone time with Botchi, but, you know, that's another story. Let's see what the writers here at DallasCowboys.com have to say. There he is. There's our boy.
Looking very confused.
Looking like, what's going on? Are you guys talking about my contract?
Is there a football in my hand? Am I holding a football right now? What is this?
His hands look like those Huntsman spiders from Australia.
My God.
His hands look like my hands when holding a junior peewee football.
Jesus.
His hands look like someone said, do an AI rendering of Dak Prescott, and they fucked up the hands like they always do.
His hands look like a face hugger on a face coming up to Aliens Romulus coming up in August.
I can't wait for that, by the way.
Hey,
okay, so
Harry the Henderson Harris.
Nick Harry says,
I think a realistic goal is a playoff appearance with the ceiling being reaching the NFC Championship game.
Okay, what is...
So he's saying the ceiling is... He's not even saying Super Bowl.
Don't like that, Nick.
Okay, what is Mickey Bolanay?
I think the ceiling should always be the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Cowboys 28-year NFC title game desert. Get to the conference title game. Realistic, why not?
Okay.
We agree.
We just didn't write it in a block.
Kyle Big Ball Geoman says, it's nearly impossible to look at the current makeup of the Cowboys roster and say they're more talented than they were a year before.
Debatable. I'm still debatable about that. Why is that? Why aren't they?
This is when everyone says the team returns 8 players from their 2023 All-Pro list.
But why is that a bad... Exactly.
He says, win the division, make a run in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
And everything will be okay.
Kind of a bitch answer, but okay.
Well, anything less than... Well, this is what you said. Anything less than... Oh, no. Yeah, he was just saying
make it run in the playoffs, and that's open to interpretation, what a run is. All right,
next. Fuck this guy.
Ooh.
Patrick Nosey always writing a fucking novel. We love you, Patrick.
I refuse, and I do mean refuse to lower my expectations here. I mean, I get it. It's been decades since the last appearance in the NFC Championship and a Super Bowl.
Championship.
Hey, don't.
Championship.
Patrick Nosey Walker has a list. You should not make fun of somebody with a
sorry,
list.
Sorry, Patrick Nosey, I'm sorry.
I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do well, that.
What,
I'm not
going to continue to do the gag.
I don't know. I can't regain my composure here.
If they enter the tournament as the final seed or the number one seed,
I don't like he said
getting tournament. To the playoffs is not enough. Winning one game in the tournament isn't satisfying. Stop winning two would be feel. That's what he's saying.
I know, Patrick Nosey, you fucking son of a bitch.
I'm pulling.
It's Super Bowl or it's Super Bowl or bust.
It's Super Bowl or bust for me.
I respect that answer. I do. Yeah. Hey man, I respect that answer. It should be Super Bowl and bust, but we're trying. Canvan's trying to be a little realistic.
Okay, listen.
I don't want to say, but perhaps Patrick. I love that he's holding to refusing to lower his expectations.
Yeah, that's what
we've always held to NFC, but once we switched to Super Bowl,
we haven't yet though. But we've always been pretty adamant about the NFC Championship game.
He goes, because instead of me lowering my expectations of the team, I'd rather ask the team to meet the expectations that come along with wearing the star in the first place. The standard is the standard, so meet it. He's not going to lie.
He's not wrong.
That's a good answer.
Eat me out. Always have.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Nick.
Jesus.
You need to go get eaten out more. This is too much
that
for
is
us.
Too much. How'd you bring Mozzie Smith into this answer somewhere? Like, just answer the question. What's your realistic?
So, okay, here we go. If you're reading the articles, just skip to the bottom line. It says playoffs is the realistic goal. But once you get in, anything is possible, even if we haven't seen it around here in a long time.
The bitch-o-meter's going off. That's a bitch answer.
Don't like it, Eatman.
I don't like it. Kurt, attitude era. Attitude era.
As far as where they will go from... Cowboys look like one of the top seven clubs in the NFC. Sure, they need some youngsters to step up.
It's a bullshit answer.
It's a bullshit answer. It's kind of not...
What, are you fucking running
answer.
For politics?
Man.
Kurt...
NFC Championship, get the fuck out of here. Hey, you, get the fuck out of here. Hey. You ain't going to be in the NFC Championship game, you jabroni.
And well, you can tell anybody who's not a Dallas Cowboys fan to get the fuck out of here.
That was terrible.
That was a terrible.
It was just, you know what? We're going to try it again.
I was ready to go with it.
No, we're going to try it again. But usually there's a little lead up to it. So give us a little shout out to the chat, you know, and then let's go into that. Take two in three, two.
Well, Cowboys Nation, we are here at the end of a Cowboys Can Fan main event on the eve of training camp. Make sure you tune into Friday Night Lights Varsity Boosh this Friday, June 26, 1995. VHS tapes will be on. Sir, we got the Cowboys Can Fan here, the Bandwagon Boys with your host, Anth Best, saying that if you ain't a Dallas Cowboys fan, or more specifically, if you're a Rams fan looking to scrimmage against the Cowboys in Oxnard, you can go ahead and fuck yourself!
hang on. We're going to be at Oxnard in about, I don't know.
2 weeks?
Two weeks, just a little bit over... Under 2 weeks, over 2 weeks.
Crack him if you got him,
son.
Varsity Boosh.
Woo! Varsity Boosh this Friday. Come join us on YouTube. Holla
back.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.